Well, hi, everyone. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's June 5th, 2012. And if you were tuned in yesterday, you got a sneak preview that I was going to have Pastor Jason Schiffo in the studio with me on Tuesday and Wednesday. He's launching into a new teaching on the book of Jude. And I said there was so much to share. And I think I even kidded yesterday. I think he covered all 66 books of the Bible just as a little snapshot into what we're going to be learning in the days ahead. But thank you, Jason, for carving out extra time to be here on the Tuesday and Wednesday editions of Mark and Friends, and I'm glad for your Bible knowledge and your expertise in the very months, and actually, I guess the last year you've been preparing for this book of Jude, to be teaching it effectively, and I know you've been leaning towards wanting to go through the book of Acts, but I'm thinking, you know, the book of Jude is so full of good nuggets for what we're living through today, and your passion and sharing it, I thought maybe we could spend a little time in Jude in the coming weeks. We'll see. It's always hard to kind of nail down exactly where I
don't make any promises you can't keep.
Yeah, I'm not doing that anymore. I do want to mention yesterday, if you were tuned in, we were talking about bringing Ron Perry into our area in July. He's the one that sings many of those sanctified oldies, those rock and roll songs. And so I still have a fleece out there. I'm waiting to get more feedback from listeners. Your prayers are appreciated. I envision having this outreach evangelistic concert at Marketplace Mall. But it costs about $3,000 or $4,000, and I'm waiting to see if we can raise enough of the funds so I don't have to tap into some of the radio ministry monies and kind of have this sponsored by some families or businesses or individuals. And I envision, you know, a couple hours where he's at the mall and he's sharing all these fun rock and roll songs from the past with sanctified lyrics, God-honoring lyrics that'll draw the unchurched, those that are just walking through the mall. They'll be intrigued by the song, you know, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours, but it'll be honoring to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that may come together in the days ahead. I'll have more to say about that. But if you want to be a financial supporter or sponsor of that potential event in July, give me a call at 217-367-7777 or email us at staff@greatnewsradio.org. And give us a thumbs up. Say, hey, I think it's a great idea, or I don't know, maybe there's a better way of utilizing those resources. I'm certainly open to being led of the Lord, but I would appreciate your feedback and prayers. But I know Ron Perry, when he was here 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, was very effective. Everyone enjoyed the concert. He used to do beach evangelism many years ago. He's an effective evangelist, and he has a real gift of music. So if that's something that maybe you could get excited about and could financially support, call me and let me know.
I was sharing with you before the program came on, there is a Hebrew word. It's called beshanut, and it means to be timid, but it carries with it a connotation of shame, of being shameful. And when I was reading this morning and I saw that, I made this connection to when Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And what that tells us is because he had no shame, it was because he wasn't timid. And I think that that's powerful in what you're saying, because we have to think of new and creative and exciting ways that we get the gospel out there where people who normally would never hear the gospel, we can't be timid and go, well, that's the mall, or we can't be timid and go, well, that's that place, because ultimately we will carry shame for not doing that. And so I just want to maybe just encourage folks to lean into that, to begin today, maybe even just praying for it and saying, you know, God, is this a good idea? Or is there another way or another avenue that would be equally or better? But let us not be timid in bringing the gospel out there. I mean, I think we joked that when Paul went to town, he never said, like, hey, what does the hotel look like? He said, hey, what does the prison look like? Because I'm going to be there shortly. And that's because he wasn't timid. And you even pointed out that right after that, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. And so we need to pray and realize that we operate in the power of God, not in our own power. I don't know. I just hear that and I go, wow, we need to be even more forthright in how we share the gospel. We need to have less timidity. We need to be less scared that this is, that's not a place where I can talk about it, or that's not a place where I can talk about it. Instead, the gospel is meant to be shared and lived and talked and taught everywhere. I mean, I think about in Acts when Paul goes to the Areopagus, he goes there to, it would be like the Greek marketplace. And so wouldn't that be the same as the mall?
Well, see, that's where I threw it out yesterday because I'm kind of, part of me is convinced this is such a unique opportunity. It's the general public. Hundreds of people walk through that mall. And here's a guy that I know loves the Lord that can present in an effective way with a very great gift of music that is contemporary enough where the unchurched would be, hey, I kind of know that song. Mm-hmm. But when they hear these lyrics that are God honoring, they're like, what is this all about? And so I know he could be effective. And I just want to make sure it's just not my idea, or I'm not just doing a good thing. I want to do a God thing. But it seems like it's pretty easy to pull off. I think I can convince them all to allow me to set up a stage in there. In fact, they will set up the stage for me. We've had really great relationships with them for many years. And the Singing Men have sang there for 13 straight years, very God-honoring Christmas programs. So I'm thinking, wow, that's one big piece. And then it's just a matter of determining, do we do it Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, or Sunday afternoon? You know, the food court's right there. It makes it really easy for people to eat and sit down. They'll set up lots of chairs for everyone. So it's like, wow, here's an opportunity to be in the general public. Because sometimes if you try to invite your unchurched friend into a church setting, it's a little awkward maybe if they're not used to the church or their expectations. Or say you want to have a Jewish friend and they're like, I don't know about a church. Though, ultimately, we want to get them into the church, mm-hmm. and that's where God's bride is, and that's where the power is unleashed through the local body. But this, I thought, could be a real unique way, a stepping stone to get people to come to hear, to maybe be introduced to the Lord for the first time. And it's really kind of an easy setup. There's no offering taken. It's a free concert. Come, bring your unchurched friend, bring your neighbors. A youth group could be there, and it'll be a lot of fun. So
yeah,
I'm all about that.
Yeah, and let's be honest. I mean, I just flipped this open here, and it's in Acts 17, beginning in 16. Look, I can go to Acts. It says, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. Wow. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to dispute with him. Those would be the atheists and those who are you going to run against in the mall, the academics, those people who have a great argument for why God doesn't exist. Some of them asked, what is this babbler trying to say? Oh, I've heard that said before. Others remarked, he seems to be advocating foreign gods. Man, if you're at the mall and you're talking about Jesus, you're advocating a God that is totally foreign to that consumer God that is gobbling up your money and your credit cards in that place. So, I mean, when we see Paul, he goes to that marketplace every day. He doesn't stop going. And yet in it, he's being called names. He's being, people are not receiving him well, but he doesn't stop going. He is not timid. And so, as I said before, I want to encourage everybody to, first and foremost, don't be timid in your prayers. Lift up those prayers and just ask God, on behalf of this radio ministry, on behalf of the power of the gospel, just say, God, is this something that you would like to see done? And then from there, begin to pray maybe in your financial partnership. You know, maybe it's $20, maybe it's $50, maybe you're somebody who says, you know what, I have been blessed greatly, and I want to share that blessing with many through the power of the gospel. I mean, imagine, I think that it's funny, you say $3,000 or $4,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, I would pay right now $3,000 or $4,000 for my salvation. Mm-hmm. I would give you that freely for the knowledge mm-hmm. that I now have of Jesus mm-hmm. Christ. Prior to my salvation, I probably wouldn't have. We would say, you got to be kidding me. I mean, you know, I could buy that's half of a car. I could buy a TV. I could do all these things. So if your financial contribution helped to bring one person to Christ, it's worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an investment. That's not only an investment now, but imagine you get to heaven and that person and you go, yeah, you know, one time, and that person goes, that was me. That was me. And you're like, you're here because of my $25, $50, right. $1,000. I mean, could you imagine how powerful that would be?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Well, that's why yesterday I played a song by Ron Perry, The Lion Sleeps Tonight, with his sanctified lyrics and his little intro. And he said, you know, in a 3-minute song, he can give like the gospel message and it hooks people because they hear it over and over again in their mind. And I thought, this is just such a unique outing. And like with me, you know me pretty well, if there's some fun involved in it and it can be God-honoring and done simplistically, I mean, this is like an easy setup. It's not as involved as our community appreciation concert, which you know, bringing in Steve Green, Michael Card, Twyla Paris, Wayne Watson. There was like 17 pages of contractual agreements and working with all sorts of sponsors. Yeah. And it was a lot of work, a lot of volunteers.
Green M&Ms, this kind of water. Yeah.
But that was well worth it and a real blessing to the 1,500 people that came out for it. But this is very unique because I think people could bring their neighbors, their unchurch friends, and this ministry is all about evangelism too. And I thought this could be a real unique, fun, non-threatening setting where the gospel message will be clearly presented in such a unique manner, because some of these songs, most all of our listeners, 30 and older, will be very familiar. These are the popular hits, the popular songs from the 70s, 60s, 50s, some of those old golden oldies. But yet they played over and over again on regular rock and roll stations. But with the lyrics and his delivery and presentation, I thought, you know, and I know the station could afford to pay for it. I mean, we have some ongoing monies coming in. But I always like to raise new funds for these kind of unique things. And by throwing out the fleece yesterday and today, it's just to see if there's confirmation, if people can catch the vision, if people will buy in by starting to pray even now. Mm-hmm. And maybe this isn't what the Lord would have. But I thought, it's not like we're saying we need $20,000 or $30,000 or $50,000. $3,000 or $4,000, I think, could cover most all the incidentals, get them out here. I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. But I always want to pray, Lord, just because I get an idea doesn't mean it's from you.
And well, you know, Paul was a pretty good, we read in the scriptures, a pretty good tent maker. So we know that he had a tent ministry. I mean, he could make tents. But that doesn't deter Paul from sending out letters to the churches saying, I need you to give into what it means to be the church. Mm-hmm. I mean, he even rebukes the Corinthians and saying, look, I sent a letter to the Macedonians, who are the Philippians, and he goes, they gave out of their poverty, and you haven't given anything.
Yeah.
Paul even says that. Paul goes, look, let me give you a real easy interpretation. Paul called the Corinthians and he goes, look, do you have skin in the game? I mean, are you going to really walk the talk? I mean, God has blessed you and he's only asked you for a little bit back so that you can keep the ongoing ministry of the gospel. I mean, let's be practical. It takes money to do it. I mean, it takes funds. It takes resources, resources being financial, people. I mean, there's a varying resources, but it takes those things to bring this. And again, I mean, I'm just looking at this passage in Acts and, you know, Paul goes there and there is this altar to this unknown God. We just went to the mall. We had a date night, my wife's birthday, and we went there. And, oh, by the way, on the radio, the Husbandry 101, right? Happy birthday, Tasha. Yeah. But we went out for Tasha's birthday and we went to the mall for something. And I said, I'll just go wherever you want. And so we went there and I was walking around and I was looking and I was going, man, you know, the God of debt is here. The God of American Express, the God of Visa, the God of MasterCard, the God of American Eagle, Foot Locker. I mean, you see people spending hundreds of dollars on pairs of shoes. I mean, I just go, look at all these gods here. I mean, now as we're talking, I'm thinking, man, you know, there was an unknown God there that I didn't see. I mean, I didn't see a storefront that said Jesus. I didn't see people talking about Jesus. I saw people driven by their own desires and their own needs. And what a great thing it would be, and I don't want to beat the horse to death, but what a great thing it would be to walk into that mall and hear the gospel being preached. You know, I used to be really against those people who would go around and they would just evangelize in those kinds of settings. I mean, not against them, but I would say, you know what, I mean, you're kind of infringing on people and you're kind of, and now I go, no way. Because I don't want to carry the shame of being timid where the gospel was concerned.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I want to be forthright. I mean, somebody told me the other day, they go, you're unashamable the way that you share the gospel. You know, you send out cards and postcards and you call people and you talk about Jesus everywhere. And I go, I don't know any other way I want to live.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and I don't even do it. I mean, I have a guy who I know who he's like crazy. I mean, he moves into a house, and he told me the story. It was funny. He said, I moved into this house, and I came out of my driveway the second day I was there, and my one neighbor was on the one side. And he goes, hey, you know, my name is Matt. And he goes, hey, how you doing? And he looked at him, and he goes, so I'm a pastor. I just want you to know that right away. And he goes, so when do you want to do it?
Yeah.
And the guy goes, what do you mean? Yeah. And he goes, well, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. Do you want to do it over dinner? Do you want to do it in the driveway? Do you want to meet for coffee? How do you want to do it? Because I'm going to tell you about Jesus. And I was like, I want to get to that point where I have no timidity, and I just look at somebody and I go, you know what? Your life matters so much to me that I cannot help but share the life of Christ with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, blessings to your friend. And God puts those people in our lives, and you've been an example in my life. And what I appreciate about a friendship is you strive to have me become a better Christian. And we need friends in our lives that help us strive to model more effectively and be that ambassador that the Lord Jesus Christ calls us all to be in our various realms of influence. And so I appreciate how you're stretching me and helping me to grow. And hopefully our listeners, as we study the book of Jude, I think we'll have a minute or two to transition into some of what I was excited. Because look, I had a full page of notes from Sunday. In fact, I had two services, two different communion settings in both the churches, First Baptist Church.
Well, you are very holy. You probably took communion prior to even leaving the house.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, you have a new communion table over here, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, yeah. The incense is burning, yeah. Actually, it was a glorious Sunday, but it was kind of a 1-2, and I mentioned yesterday on Friday's edition of Mark and Friends, I'm hoping to have Norm Hubbard. He's on the staff of the Navigators at the campus of the University mm-hmm. of Illinois. If you haven't met up with Norm, you will love this guy. He's not timid at all, and he proclaimed the goodness of God and the various names of God and how God is referred to in different ways throughout the Bible and why in different passages he might be referred to with three or four different names mm-hmm. and the uniqueness of how we should call on God and why he has named different names and how he provides and how he's sovereign and over all things and Lord of all. Mm-hmm. But he might be Friday anyways. So between the communion services and the good teaching and then, you know, with your teaching on Jude, and as I mentioned yesterday and kidded around, I put some notes. You were into Ephesians, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, 2nd Corinthians, Romans 5, Romans 8. You were kind of all over the place to lay a great foundation and a starting point so we can really take in the gist of Jude, which is also called Judas. I didn't know that. And it has three different names, right?
Yeah, and let me preface this by starting out because I'll throw the hook out, and then tomorrow we'll just dive in pretty deep in it. You know, I think that when I started it, somebody asked me the question, and it may have been one of our elders, or I'm not sure who it was, but they said, "Why Jude, and why do you want to do this book now?" Because I generally run everything I'm going to teach through a grid of people to make sure that it's God honoring, make sure it's not my own crazy idea, make sure it's not something that I watched on the news or saw somewhere that tweaked me.
Yeah.
You know, so I want to make sure. And then if I do something like a video or that, I send it out to a bunch of people and I say, tell me what you think. What's good, bad, and ugly here? And give me some feedback. Because I don't want it to, like you said earlier, concerning this gentleman coming to perform tomorrow. I don't want it to be about me. It's about the gospel. And sometimes my own junk can get shoveled in there simply because I'm doing it and I'm part of the all of Romans 3:23 that has fallen short. So hopefully we're a little less short if a bunch of us speak into it. So why Jude and why now? You know, there was about a year and a half ago before we came to Muhammad, there was a book that came out by a really notable pastor who touched a lot of people both culturally and personally in that large congregation of 10,000 people, just very hip and cool. And it captured the attention of a lot of college kids, this book. And at the time, we were journeying with a lot of college kids. We were talking with a lot of college kids, had college kids over at our house. And I knew right away I had to read that book. So the day the book came out, I downloaded it from my iPad. I mean, I read through the book. It was actually a pretty easy read, though frustrating at points. But I read through it in like a day and a half so that I could get an idea and begin to have this conversation because people were having the conversation. But at the same time, as I was reading this book, you know, I start reading this book and I go, wait a second, I cannot read this with my own human lens because I am Romans 3:23. I have fallen short. I might grasp a hold of an idea and think, wow, that's really cool because I live here. So I needed to read it through the lens of the Bible. And so as I'm looking and I'm going, okay, God, what speaks to this? And God led me to 2 Peter and he led me to Jude in those two books. Interestingly enough, in terms of teaching the Bible, 2 John, 3 John, Philemon, and Jude, actually the shortest books of the Bible, the four shortest books of the Bible, are also the least taught books of the Bible. In fact, Jude, in a survey, rarely ever taught from the pulpit. There might be a study of Jude that's done within the church, maybe a Bible study or that, but rarely, if never, taught from the pulpit, which is interesting because Jude has a lot to say. So then I read this book, but then I began to read over and over. Jude's only 25 verses long, so I began to read Jude over and over and over and over again. Read it about 100 times last year. And it's because I'm passionate about the truth, this divine truth, that it's God's truth, not my own truth. You know, and I've devoted my life, my ministry, my family, everything that I am, I devoted to this truth of God. That's why you'll find I'm unashamable about the Word of God and the truth of God. I think I said to somebody the other day, I said, we cannot have tolerance by selling off the truth of God. We cannot be tolerant of something if it intersects and destroys the truth that God has revealed in His Word. That doesn't mean we don't love people. We're called to love people. But tolerance is loving people is saying, you know what, I love you, but I'm also going to have to speak some truth in here. Tolerance says, well, I love you, and by not saying anything, I'm going to tolerate it. I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to let it continue to perpetuate itself. True love is putting your relationship online and saying, you know what, I want to speak some truth into what it is that you're doing here. You know, God says in His Word, He reveals Himself and says He is the God of truth. You know, Jesus Christ, the glory of God, skin on, walking on the earth, revealed by John in his gospel, is full of the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We know that Jesus said and later illuminated to Paul that the truth would set a sinner free and would show them and reveal their future glory. The Bible is called the Word of Truth. Jesus said to His Father, "Your Word is truth." And in the Scriptures, we're commanded to worship God in the truth, to obey the truth, to love the truth, to be judged by the truth, to speak the truth in love, to walk in the truth, and to love in the truth. And my friends, we're literally supposed to be up to our eyeballs in the truth. I mean, get your snorkel and your fins on, because you got to go. You're so immersed in the truth. I mean, that's why Paul calls the church the pillar and support of the truth. You know, and last week I talked from the pulpit about Philippians, and in Philippians we stand in this tension between heaven and between earth. And in that place we're standing with the truth, and we have a choice in that. But I want to, that's kind of the hook, and tomorrow we will talk about this further. We'll dive deep into the book of Jude, so check back in with us. It's going to be a good time.
I'm surprised you could say truth that many times without doing your Jack Nicholson impression.
Oh, yeah. You can't handle the truth.
Well, tomorrow we're going to trust that you're going to be able to handle the truth, because the Lord will express His love only through the truth, and the truth is the gospel, the narrative that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one way to God, the one and only way, and as we draw near to Him, we will find true truth and we'll find true love in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night. And if you can tune in again tomorrow, we'll start opening up the book of Jude and talking through it, and hopefully we can all learn some great nuggets as God wants us all to know His Word, and Jude is one of those inspired scriptures that can lead us in new ways.